Welcome to another episode of the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. My name is Mike Freeland, and I'm here to take you down the last 7 days that was the world of professional wrestling. There's so many things I want to talk about, but before we get into any of that, I do want to let you know that the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is brought to you by The Truepenny Show. Catch James Truepenny and his amazing cast of wrestling minds as they talk about all things wrestling in Japan. You can follow them on social media. They're on Facebook and they're at Twitter. You can find their podcast anywhere fine podcasts are made available. And if you'd like to reach out to the czar himself of professional wrestling, his name is James Truepenny. You can follow him at Twitter, at Sheriff Lone Star. And we also want to let you know that the Rewind is brought to you by PowerSlam TV. You know what? What's a better way of watching wrestling than having a one-stop shop to watch everything? PowerSlam TV is offering a great offer. If you go ahead and type in promo code MULLETWATCH, you're going to be able to get your first month for free. Can you believe that? It's amazing. Anywhere that you go, you're not going to find this kind of wrestling. PowerSlam TV Wrestling Network is the largest pro wrestling channel with over 4,800 hours of wrestling content from over 120 promotions on the web and on your mobile device. You can go ahead and try it for free. Once again, just use that promo code MULLETWATCH. Once again, that's MULLETWATCH and get your free month of PowerSlam TV. Guys, you can't beat that. If you're a big pro wrestling fan, you're going to want to make sure that you get that. And also, we want to let you know about James's other show called Telling Stories. This time, listen to James as he goes down the road in the world of professional wrestling, goes into the archives, and tells some of the most thought-provoking stories, some you may know, some you may not know. Once again, that is Telling Stories with James Truepenny. All right, so it's going to be a solo show with me this week. Unfortunately, due to scheduling issues, I am the one that's available. The other co-hosts of mine are on assignment this week covering other things that are going on in the world of professional wrestling. But there's so many things that I want to get to. Chris Jericho is going to be on this program. We're going to talk about him and what his thoughts are regarding AEW. And Vince McMahon, what's going on with that? Bray Wyatt in his new gimmick has just been revealed on Monday Night Raw. What's going on with that? Seems a little weird, but a lot of people seem to be digging it. That and so many other things. So you know what? Let's get right into it and let's start the show. All right, so the Bray Wyatt situation I find to be very, very interesting. So just to kind of catch up on what's been going on here. So Bray Wyatt has been off of TV for a substantial amount of time. And there have been a lot of rumor and speculation on what they were going to do once Bray was brought back. Was Bray going to be repackaged? Was he going to have a new name? Obviously, was he going to have a new gimmick? What was going to be happening with Bray Wyatt? Now, before we kind of go into this, I'm going to give you my two cents on the whole thing. I loved the Bray Wyatt character. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I loved the Wyatt family. I loved the fact that it was kind of cult-like, but they were all extremely talented performers, and I thought it worked really, really well. Well, as we know, things change in wrestling. Injuries happen. There's things that shift backstage. There's a lot of different moving pieces, and unfortunately, the Wyatt family got broken up. Bray Wyatt has been gone for quite a while, but now he is back, and if you haven't seen what's going on with Bray Wyatt, I highly recommend that you go back on your DVR and you check it out because it kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't sure how they were going to use Bray Wyatt when they brought him back, but the way they brought him back definitely had me shaking my head. Bray Wyatt is now, the best of my ability, as far as I am concerned, he is a combination of a Mr. Rogers, if you're here in the United States, a Captain Kangaroo, whatever you want to call him, Pee Wee Herman type of character that has this maniacal edge to him. And yeah, that's the road we're going down. So he has a set that's designed to kind of look like Blue's Clues, and that's the only other way I can really describe it. And don't mistake me, I don't watch Blue's Clues, and I don't know who Steve is. And I didn't know that Steve went to college and someone else came to take his spot. Anyway, so it's kind of got that feel to it, and it's a little weird. It's got children in the background, like a children's studio audience, and they're kind of cheering him, and then he talks about the character that he used to be and that he was a very bad man, and now that that bad man is gone, this guy is here, and he whips out a chainsaw. So it's just got this whole weird vibe to it. What's it going to be like? Ultimately, how is this whole thing going to play out? You know, I'm not 100% sure, but social media has been really, really just drawn to this because I think a lot of people were, A, interested in what was going to happen to Bray Wyatt. You know, because Bray Wyatt's such a great performer. The biggest concern that I had when it came to this was, if you're not going to bring him back as Bray Wyatt, if you're not going to make him that heel character that he fit to so well, I mean, it fit like a glove for him. If you're going to make him a face, then how is that going to work? Or if you completely get away from the Bray Wyatt character and the Bray Wyatt name, well, how do you sell to your audience that he's somebody new when it's really hard to differentiate him from something that is going to be new? You know, every time you look at him, you're going to see Bray Wyatt. But I want you guys to let me know on social media, what are your thoughts about this? Are you digging the new Bray Wyatt character? Do you like the whole Mr. Rogers Blues Clues with a mixture of Friday the 13th or Freddy Krueger mixed in there with the kids in the studio audience? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I will tell you this. I don't know if I understand exactly what the WWE is attempting to do. Like, in one regard, I think that they're going to be a little bit more edgy. And obviously, this character would be a little bit more edgy. They're going to be pushing the envelope a little bit more. I feel like they're trying to, at least in my opinion, not be so PG, because this character is definitely not PG. I mean, if you could tell me that during the PG era, where they had a character that was kind of like this and creepy like this, and you know, there was children talking in the background, and there were demented toys and a chainsaw, I can't think of a character that would resemble what the WWE is trying to do with Bray Wyatt right now. But you can at me. I am at Mike Freeland on Twitter. Let me know. Say, Mike, no, I disagree with you. I think that there have been characters like this before where they've kind of pushed the envelope between creepy slash kids element type of thing. Or maybe you can say, no, I agree with you 100%. I've never seen something like this before. I think it's a little weird. It's a little different. Is anybody else feel the same way I do as far as losing faith in WWE creative? I mean, what is the epitome of really not having a direction with a company? When your creative team is quitting on you. And that's basically what's happened. One of the main writers on SmackDown quit. You know, Road Dogg obviously wants to no longer be on the creative team. So that's got to tell you one of two things. It's got to tell you, A, I don't want to sit in these meetings anymore and continue to pitch out ideas and pitch out angles when they're just going to get shot down and they're just going to be trumped by Vince and his ideas, or at least what he thinks is entertaining. I've gone on record, and I'll say it again, the business has passed Vince up. And I don't know if anybody would have really said that in years past, but I think it really has happened. The business has passed Vince up. Vince no longer has the pulse on what is going on in society, in culture, to draw people in. I don't feel like a lot of his characters are what I would state as relatable. You know, and a lot of people have argued with me before, and they say, well, wait a second, Mike, that's not exactly correct. What about Becky Lynch? She's a relatable person. She's the new female version of Steve Austin. Okay, I'll kind of give you that. Who else do you think is really relatable? Seth Rollins isn't relatable. I mean, outside of the fact that we learned that Roman Reigns went through his cancer scare, which was horrible, the Roman Reigns character itself, taking that out of the equation, is Roman Reigns really somebody that people gravitated towards, or that people said, oh, I can see myself in that character, or I can relate to that character? No, they don't. There's not many people that come in or out of the wrestling industry that people can really say, oh, I relate to that person. They related to Steve Austin. They related to CM Punk. I think those guys were very, very relatable. I think The Rock did extremely well because The Rock was just such a character. He was so plastic. He was so over the top that it was just one of those guys that you just love to watch. Mick Foley was relatable. Mick Foley looked like he was just the average overweight man who shopped at Walmart and barely shaved and wore deodorant. He was a very relatable character. There's people that are endearing to the audience that people really want to see. And regardless if they win or lose, it's the relatability. It's the ability to connect with someone in that audience that they can say, yeah, he or she is one of us. You can't always get that. But when you do get that and when you do find that, that's something that you gotta hold on to that. You don't want to let that go. You want to let that absolutely marinate with your audience. Because if the audience can relate to a character or they can relate to a performer who's playing a character and they really sympathize with that individual or they're on par with that person, then that's when you know you've hit gold. The Bray Wyatt character, I think it's going to fall into the category of entertaining. I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see what exactly happens with it. Do I think this is a long-term angle or a long-term character? No, because I don't know how far you can really take this. I mean, there's only so many creepy things that you can do. Only so many weird things you can do when you are trying to portray yourself as Steve from Blue's Clues or Mr. Rogers, yet you're creepy. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are digging it. I'm not going to say I'm not digging it. I'm not going to say I'm not on board. But what I will say is I'm just going to have to wait and see. But the first time I saw the promo, I wasn't blown away. Did I think the writing was top-notch? Did I think it was really, really laid out well so the audience could gravitate towards this character? Or could at least at the very basis understand what this character is and what this character is coming from? No. There was no setup. There was no delivery. There was no, hey, this is where I once was. This is who I am now. No. So I think it just kind of falls flat right now. But we're going to have to wait and see. Once again, I think Bray Wyatt is an incredibly talented performer. I think no matter what happens, Bray is going to sell this as best as he can. Now, it's up to WWE Creative to find ways to make this character endearing to the audience and long-term, so it will determine to be a financial success. All right, moving on. Becky Lynch has some harsh words for Ronda Rousey. What did she say? Well, Becky Lynch recently sat down and did an interview. Becky Lynch recently sat down with Us Magazine, and she had some very harsh words for Ronda Rousey. And this is what she said. She says, and I quote, "Rousey doesn't know anything else. She only knows how to win. So that when she doesn't win, she can't handle it," Lynch said. "That's the difference between her and I. I don't think I'm going to win all the time. In fact, I know I'm going to lose sometimes. But I know that I can take it and I can come back every single time. I can come back stronger every single time. What I've said from the get-go is that I'm not the strongest. I'm not the fastest. I'm not the most athletic. But I am the most relentless." So let's kind of break this down here for a second, because I think there's a lot of moving pieces with this whole Ronda Rousey. What did she bring to the table? What did she not deliver on now that we're looking back and it's in our rearview mirror? Do I think Ronda Rousey coming to the WWE from a business standpoint was big for the WWE? Yeah, slightly. I don't necessarily think that, and maybe I can be proved wrong by ticket sales and merchandise and whatever else, but do I think it moved the needle a whole lot? Maybe in the beginning it spiked some interest, but I don't think that it was ever a situation where the WWE Universe looked at Ronda as someone who was going to endear herself to the audience, endear herself to the business and to the art of professional wrestling. I think a lot of people, kind of like myself, saw her coming in as, you know what, I did the UFC thing, and then all of a sudden I started losing, I couldn't handle it, I quit, so I went to do WWE, because obviously it would keep my name out there, I would get recognition for it, there was a nice payday that was attached to it. She was a huge wrestling fan as well, which I'll definitely give her credit for. But I think that's what she saw it as. It was a money grab. It was a short-term thing. It wasn't going to be a long-term deal. She wasn't going to be on the road for 10, 15, 20 years. She did it for a little over a year, became champion, made a ton of money, got to travel around, have some fun, experience wrestling, and now she's out. Now, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, well, she's not completely gone. And you're right. She's not completely gone. She will be back. She did sign a contract with WWE, and she's still under contract with them. But as we've seen on her social media accounts, she's on, and I'm going to paraphrase this, impregnation vacation. And that's something that Ronda has made very, very publicly, that, you know, she does want to have a family. She does obviously want to have children, and she does want to settle down. And her life has been kind of chaotic. I mean, you know, when she was training for UFC and she was fighting for all those years, there was really not a good time to start a family. There wasn't a real good time to take time off, an extended amount of time off, because her moneymaker, which is her fists, they were always in demand. And they were always throwing big fat checks at her. So think about it from this perspective. You may want to do something very badly, but I will say this, and I can't speak for everyone, but if someone says, well, I know you want to do A, but if you go ahead and do B just for a little while, I'll give you millions and millions and millions of dollars. No matter how much you want to do A, I'm going to be honest with you. People are at least going to entertain the notion of doing option B, even if it is just for short term, because there is so much, you know, financial leverage that you will now have to do activity A once you're done doing activity B and collecting your money. So I think she'll be back. When? I don't know. I mean, think about it. You know, getting pregnant is not an easy thing. I know a lot of couples who have tried, and it can take years. I've even known a couple, it's taken over a decade. You know, it's not just a simple process. There's a lot of things that go involved in that kind of thing. And I know that stress definitely weighs a factor in that as well. And I think Ronda is at a point where she's done with UFC. I know she's never officially come out and said, I will never fight in mixed martial arts again. But I think that every year that you're out, there's going to be a younger, hungrier crop of talent that's going to come in the front door as you're standing by the back door. And they're just going to get bigger, stronger, faster. And you're only going to age. You know, no one beats Father Time. And that's just the truest statement that there ever was. You can't beat Father Time. It's going to catch up to you at some point. Your body is not meant to withstand the brutality that she has endured for so many years for her to go back out there again. Now think about this. Let's say she does end up having a child. That's going to change her mindset and her mentality even more. Do you think that she wants to go out there knowing that one punch or one shot could put her in the hospital or could potentially cripple her? She's going to be thinking more in a mom mindset, in a more of a family mindset than she is just herself. So that's going to play a big factor if she ever were to come back. I don't think she ever will. And a big reason why I don't think she'd ever come back again is because I believe people in UFC have figured her out. They figured out the way to beat Ronda Rousey, and they did it numerous times. And that's how her career ended. And I agree with Becky Lynch here, because I think Becky Lynch is really right. All Ronda knew was winning. And the minute Ronda started not winning or losing, I think that she kind of freaked out. It's a perfect example of somebody who always gets A's in school, and then all of a sudden they get a B or they get a C, and they can't handle it. They freak out. So instead of keeping your composure and saying, yeah, you know what, I had a bad day, didn't have a great test score, maybe I should have did my homework a little harder last night, things just didn't work out. That's life. Shit happens. But I think Ronda was so conditioned to winning. She was so conditioned to being praised. She was always conditioned to being told she is the best in the world, that once she wasn't, I don't think she could handle it. And in the contrived world, and I think that's an important word to use here, of WWE, everything can be predetermined to protect that. But we also know that at the end of the day, they're going to want to see, them being the wrestling fans, they're going to see good, compelling matches. They're going to want to see somebody beat the champion at some point. So I don't know where this leads us. You know, if, let's say Ronda does get pregnant and she has a child, I'm assuming she's probably going to want to be with her child for the first few years of life. She's not going to want to be on the road. So that means even if she thought about coming back and wrestling, you know, it would be a one-off. And you can't really have a program with somebody with a one-off situation. I think you're better off going with your women that are currently on the roster. I think you're better off going, if you're going to want to try to fill the shoes, if you will, of a Ronda Rousey, you're going to want to use Shayna Baszler. I have been a Shayna Baszler fan, and I have been speaking her praises for I can't tell you how long. She is everything that Ronda isn't, and more. She's fantastic. She is phenomenal. So, I like Becky. I hope this whirlwind of enthusiasm that's surrounding Becky Lynch continues, because that's only going to help promote women's wrestling even more. But here's the other thing that's really fascinating when you look at the complexity of women's wrestling. You know, WWE and all the powers that be inside WWE want to make you believe that, oh, well, with the Mae Young Classic, and we've created this, and Evolution, and no, you really haven't. They want to take so much credit for being, you know, at the front of the pack, leading it with women's wrestling, when that couldn't be further from the truth. I think WWE loves to take credit for things that they had absolutely nothing to do with. And I think Dara O'Connor would agree with me, and I know James Trupenny would agree with me. This stuff was happening in Japan years, decades ago. This was happening in Impact / TNA wrestling years ago. This is nothing new. But right now, the climate's right. WWE has more eyeballs on it than probably any other promotion right now currently in the world. And right now, people are really gravitating towards it because they got some great characters. They got some great personalities. And Becky Lynch is one of them. I hope this Becky Lynch thing continues for a while. And I hope that they really, really make sure that they position her well so she doesn't get burned out. But Ronda, in my opinion, she was a lot like the Ultimate Warrior. And I know I'm going to get a lot of people who are going to hate on me for talking about the Warrior like this. But in some ways, I think the Warrior was a flash in the pan. I do. And what I mean by that is he wasn't around long enough for you to say that he was a staple anywhere. Because he was here and then gone. And here and then gone. And then rumor of him coming back. And then that not happening. He just wasn't consistent enough to say year in and year out he was the guy. And I think the same thing can be said about Ronda. Fascinating, absolutely great at her presentation, but she's not going to be here for long term. There was never the goal of that. That's why they got the amazing women of NXT who are going to come up, and they're going to rock the world, and they're going to do great things. So I agree completely with what is being said and the sentiment right now, probably inside the women's locker room. The one thing I will say that I really liked about what they did with Becky and what they did with Ronda was they really got back to what they did in the late 90s with blurring the line of what was a work and what was a shoot. And it really made people wonder. Obviously, the whole thing was a shoot, or was it a work, or was it both? No, come on, guys. The whole thing was a work. Even when Ronda would go on her social media accounts and her YouTube channel and she would spout four-letter words and she'd use the word fake and every single thing, it was just to irritate and frustrate wrestling fans. She was playing the heel character. That's what she was doing. And Becky was the Rocky Balboa babyface. This was a work from the word go. And anybody who thinks other than that, you're just drinking your own Kool-Aid. Wrestling's a work no matter what. But you know what? Becky Lynch is working out pretty well. And that's all I got to say about that topic. All right, so this next topic is not something that's going to be brand new. It's not going to be earth-shattering. It's going to be something all of you are probably going to say, yeah, Mike, I've heard that before. I understand. Vince is really quirky and really weird about the nomenclature that people use when it comes to speaking on television. He's very precise about the choice of words in the promos. Well, we all know that Vince is not very high on certain words. And according to Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, he found out that the WWE is no longer down on the word belt. As you can remember, WWE in 2008, there was a document that got released online, and there were words on there. There were nearly two dozen banned terms and words, including belt, strap, title, changing hands. The title is on the line, backstage, feud, fans, pro wrestling, pro wrestler, and the word war. So there was a lot of this kind of stuff that was circulating around, and it really made a lot of us kind of wonder, what's inside the mind of Vince McMahon, and why does he not like these words? Why is there such a stigma, a negative stigma, in his mind about using these words? Well, here's what I'll tell you. Vince McMahon always has wanted his product to stand out from everyone else. So in a world of professional wrestling, when everyone's using the same phrases, championship belt, wrestler, feud, etc., etc., Vince decided to go in an opposite direction. He didn't want to call the performers wrestlers. He wanted to call them superstars because he wanted to make people believe that the people that were performing on his card were really superstars. They were larger than life. They were more than just wrestlers. They were sports entertainers, and that the show was an entertainment venue. It was exciting to go to. He wanted to really make it as close to Hollywood as he could. And that's the why Vince did what Vince did. He saw wrestling going left, and he decided, I'm going to go right. I want to separate myself from the rest of the pack, and I want to give the audience something that they have not seen, something they have not heard, maybe a different twist on something that they have been consuming for so many years. Well, we got a really great anecdote from our good friend Chris Jericho on Talk is Jericho. And Chris Jericho told a really interesting story about a discussion that he had with Vince McMahon. And he said, hey, Vince, I don't know if I should lose the belt. And he said, what? I mean title. Because, you know, you can't say the word belt around Vince because Vince knows that a belt is what holds up your pants. You couldn't say fans because it's the WWE universe, Jericho added. And never say marks. Vince didn't like that phrase either because they're not marks, they're our fans. So, you know, it's so interesting that even in the day and age where kayfabe is dead, the curtain has been pulled back, everyone knows everything that's going on, everyone knows that it's a work, that Vince still in his mind was trying to keep this vestige of reality, that it was some form of competition or sport still in the minds of the viewers. And it's just not true. I mean, you know, I give him a lot of credit. He was trying to keep something alive as much as he could, for as long as he could. But it's just entertainment. That's what it is. And I think that he had a big time issue with almost being too general. Or I think he felt like those words were demeaning to the industry. And maybe he just wanted to breathe life into it and make it his own. And like I said, I'm not going to besmirch the guy, for wanting to do that. I mean, that's what he wanted. But at the end of the day, it does make for some incredibly colorful stories that people have told over the years about Vince McMahon and what he likes and what he doesn't like. Speaking of Vince McMahon, one of his biggest no-nos, and this wasn't even something that I knew, he does not want to be referenced at all during a Hall of Fame speech, at all. He doesn't want his name coming up at all, and evidently that sets him off a lot. So Vince is a very interesting person. You know, all the stories that I've heard is he only sleeps about 2 or 3 hours a night. He always answers his phone on the second or third ring at the latest, and he's always working. Or he's working out. This guy is unbelievable. There needs to be a movie on Vince McMahon. I know that, is it Chris Hemsworth that's going to be doing the Hulk Hogan movie? Which a lot of people have their own mixed feelings about that. I'm going to talk about Hulk Hogan in a little bit too. Which may upset some people, it may not. We'll get into that. But it's just interesting because Vince is such a interesting person that, you know, he's been a WWE superstar. In his own words, he's been the champion. He's been everything. But I think Vince, at his core, at who he is as a regular person, is more fascinating than anything you could ever create in a meeting in a creative meeting backstage. That's all I got to say about that. All right, this next story, and I definitely want to make sure I give credit for this. This is Joshua Gagnon, and he's with Wrestling Inc. He went ahead and he wrote a great, great piece here. And earlier this month, DX was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And during the speech, Triple H cracked a joke about AEW, calling them a pissant company. What started that was DX joked around about not being able to name Vince McMahon in their speech. And then Billy Gunn commented Vince couldn't fire him anymore because he was working as a producer for AEW. Then the joke turned into the audience doing an AEW chant. Triple H then responded, Billy, let's be honest. He would buy that pissant company and just fire you again. Hello? Like, I don't have a big issue with this. I think a lot of people would probably turn this into a bigger deal than what it really is. Look, it's just a funny off-color joke. At the end of the day, AEW is exciting as it sounds right now. And a lot of people have said this to me before. They said, Mike, they're basically a glorified t-shirt company because they haven't really done a show yet. You know, All In is great. Don't get me wrong. You know, All In 2, gonna be great. I think StarCast is a phenomenal product that they have, and I give so much credit to Conrad Thompson for being really a revolutionary voice inside this industry. I mean, coming from a person who was already successful in the business industry, was a huge wrestling fan, to be able to merge those two genres together and to deliver a product to people and to be a big integral role in all of this to be happening is great. It's great for wrestling. It's great for fans. But, you know, do I look at AEW and do I automatically think, well, guys, when they sign that TV deal, it's going to be on. WWE, you guys better be really scared. No. Because we've seen this happen before. There have been plenty of wrestling promotions that have been around that have had national televised deals, and it didn't work out. You know what happened to all those companies? Vince bought them. The exact joke that Triple H was making to Billy. So at the end of the day, no, it's just funny humor. I think there's no problem whatsoever with it. It's just ribbing going back and forth. I will say I'm interested in AEW. They have thrown out some ideas about maybe having a wrestling season where it's not going to be 365, 24/7. They have mentioned, obviously, they want to have more competitive salaries for their performers, men and women, which I think is great. They want to offer them health insurance and maybe even a 401k package. I think that's great, too. They're handling the situation much differently than a lot of other wrestling promotions do. You know, we often hear that phrase, independent contractor, and we all go, that's the biggest load of garbage I've ever heard in my life, because if you're truly an independent contractor, you're able to go ahead and take jobs anywhere. You know, my uncle was an independent contractor. He installed windows, and he could install windows anywhere, anywhere who wanted to book him to go ahead and put the windows in. But WWE is so much different. They make you believe that you are really truly with them because you can't work for anyone else, but yet in the same breath, they can fire you in a heartbeat, and then because of their no-compete clause, then you obviously can't get a job after that either. So it's one of those situations where you're really just in a tough situation. But no. Do I think AEW is going to light the world on fire? No. Do I think they're going to go ahead and make WWE start, you know, sweating? No. Why? Because they're not a proven commodity. They're not. You know, you put on a couple of shows, that's great, but what can you do on a consistent long-term basis that actually generates revenue and shows analytically that you are a player in the industry? Look, Ring of Honor's been doing this a hell of a lot longer. TNA / Impact Wrestling, a hell of a lot longer. MLW, a hell of a lot longer. So there's a lot of promotions here in the United States, and there are a plethora of them that I'm not even mentioning right now, so I hope I'm not, you know, saying anything that is demeaning of anybody else just by not mentioning them. But the point is, do something first, establish yourself as a player in the game, and then we'll go from there. But, you know, for people to automatically start jumping to these conclusions that it's going to be a war and all this kind of stuff, it's all rhetoric. Guys, it's all rhetoric. It's all BS. So just sit back, relax, enjoy the presentation that is the alleged second war of wrestling, and just see what happens. Maybe it will be really, really exciting, and maybe it might not work at all. You know, we've seen this alternative football situation in the United States, the Alliance of American Football. They were supposed to be the franchise that went ahead and the company that did things right, where the XFL really made big mistakes. They didn't even last a season. And there was this big hype for a long time about how that promotion was going to capitalize on all the mistakes that had been made previously. It didn't work. You know, it was all smoke and mirrors. So anyway, that's all I got to say on that topic. The final thing I want to talk about this week is a very controversial topic, and a topic that some people may or may not be on par with. They may agree with me, they may not. And they may never change their mind on this topic. And I'm not here to force you to take my opinion. I'm not here to sell you on my belief system. I'm not here to persuade you. Or I'm not a lawyer, so this is not a courtroom. These are just my own personal feelings, hence the name of the show, The Freeland Wrestling Rewind. And I do want to explain this. There's a lot of things that happened in history that we're not proud of. There's a lot of things that have happened that we will never be able to forget. And I'm not just talking about wrestling. I'm talking about life in general. Things that have been said, things that have been done that will forever go down in the annals as things that are black marks on our record. Things that we look back on and we cringe because, oh, that was so bad and that was done in so poor of taste. And it seems that no matter what happens, we always come back to the moments of people when they're at their lowest. And we never seem to really want to cherish people or appreciate them when they're at their peak. Because people who have been at their peak in a lot of industries, we just become so accustomed to it that that's all we know. And then when they're at their lowest, oh my God, can you believe this? This person now is filing for bankruptcy, or this person's now embroiled in some horrible divorce. Whatever, fill in the blanks. There's a million different situations out there. But as it pertains to Hulk Hogan, I will say I was a Hulkamaniac growing up. I mean, I have so much Hulk Hogan merchandise in my parents' basement that I couldn't afford to bring him into my apartment with my wife. There's just not enough room. And did it bother me when I heard the disparaging comments, the racial slurs that were made by Hulk Hogan? Yeah, it did. It really did. Because you got to understand, when you're a wrestling fan, you know, you might not be into the superheroes or the Mickey Mouse or any of the other stuff. I was 100% wrestling. And to know that a very big portion of my childhood and someone that I had emulated and wanted to be like had done some things that I was not very proud of. I mean, I wasn't proud at all. I was bothered by it. And I really started to question, did I put a lot of my stock and faith and belief into somebody who was just a bad person? And as time goes by, hopefully in life, you start to look at things with a different perspective. And you look at things through a little bit different optics. And you begin to realize that the people that we tend to hold to such a high standard, they're just people. You know, in our eyes and our minds, we tend to make things bigger than what they really are. We tend to inflate people into these almost godlike deities. And the answer is, and the reality is that they're not. They're just people. They are people playing a part. And I'm not saying that back in his heyday, Hulk Hogan wasn't a good person. Maybe he was. I don't know. I don't know him as an individual. You know, it's just like my mom or my sister or my wife. They say, oh, I love this actor or actress. They are fantastic. I feel like I'm so connected to them. And maybe you are from a storyline perspective, but we don't know people behind the scenes. I guess the point I'm trying to make with all of this is we may like the character, but we don't know the person. And you know, they often say when you're behind closed doors and no one's listening, or you think no one's listening, how you behave is who you truly are. And maybe that's the case. And maybe Hulk Hogan is a racist. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not. Maybe we should take things into consideration. Maybe we should understand maybe how he was processing things going on in his life. Not everyone processes things well either. Let me be the first person to tell you that. And I am not by any means condoning his behavior or his comments, because there's no defense for that. But what I am saying is this, that the way he came back to the WWE, and I forget what the pay-per-view was. God, I feel so bad not remembering it. But anyway, there's a pay-per-view, and I believe it was in Cleveland, and he went backstage and he talked to the locker room, and I think it was just too fresh. And I don't believe he put his best foot forward. And I don't mean put on a performance and act like you have contrition for the situation, but I don't feel like he was able to speak freely from the heart. I think he held himself back, and I think he was still trying to have that Hulk Hogan do the right thing. I made a mistake. Make sure you don't get caught doing this or that. I think that's what he was trying to, instead of being just Terry Bollea and saying, guys, I screwed up. I did. I was mad. I was pissed. I did wrong. There's nothing that can change that. There's not a shred of part of my body that doesn't want to take that back. But it said, it's out there. I did it. And if I've hurt you, and I know I've hurt you, I'm deeply sorry. And I hope that at some point in time, you'll be able to forgive me. And maybe we can build our relationships up again. But that didn't happen. And I think Hulk Hogan got a lot of feedback from not only the WWE Universe, but a lot of the performers nowadays. And I have nothing but love and respect for the New Day, the way they handled that situation. They had every right to openly speak their mind and go off on how they felt like he conducted himself, because they were the ones that were affected, and all the other African-Americans in the locker room were affected by that. They should be the ones who should decide how they feel. But I thought something that was really interesting, and it did get some traction in the media, but I think this was really good, is that during WrestleMania weekend, Hogan sat down with the New Day. I believe it was the group of the New Day, but I know he specifically spoke with Big E, and they had a conversation, and it was private. And Hogan got to say some things that he wanted to say, and I'm sure Big E got to say some things that he wanted to say. And it wasn't a publicized, hey, attention everybody. It was a one-on-one private man-to-man thing, or man-to-three-other-men thing, however you want to explain it. And I felt like this one was the way the first situation should have gone. The first apology should have went. And they say in life you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And it's true, you don't. But the one thing that I do hope for more than anything else is that this can be learned from. This will never be forgotten. I don't want it to be forgotten. But I would like to see these parties be able to come together and understand why this isn't okay and why we must never allow this to be okay. And if people like Hogan and people like the New Day, who are very influential to children, to so many people around the world, there is a way to turn a negative into somewhat of a positive. And I think Big E and the New Day are nothing but pure class. And I think it was great that they wanted to give Hogan time to speak. And I'm just going to paraphrase. You know, Big E basically said he accepted the conversation and he is willing to maybe take that next step to maybe putting a relationship together and moving forward in a new direction. So I don't like it when I hear people just hate on someone, because God knows that I have done and said things that have been bad in my life, and I have felt like garbage. I want to believe in redemption. I want to believe that people can learn and that people can grow and people can look at situations and learn from them and be better and be stronger and to show others the right way to be. And I'm not trying to turn this into some after-school special and, you know, where I'm the one preaching about how to live a good life. But the point is, though, I do want to believe that we can be better people and that we can make good choices and that we can learn from our mistakes. And at the end of the day, if you truly feel it in your heart, then it's going to show. You can't fake that. You can't fake sincerity. So that's my thoughts. I love the New Day. I'm very happy for their success in WWE. From a storyline perspective, I've expressed my opinions on Kofi Kingston being the champion. That's for another day, another topic, another show to go down that road. I think Big E would have been a really good choice because I think he's charismatic. He has the body. He has the look. He has all of that, the comedic, the timing, all of it. I think he would have been the pick to go with, in my opinion. But once again, that's just one man's opinion. So that's it. That's all I got to say. I will leave it at that. But if you want to continue this discussion on social media, please, by all means, let me know. I would be more than happy to have this conversation with you. And at me, at Mike Freeland. Once again, that is at MikeFreeland. And once again, I do want to let you know that the Freeland Wrestling Rewind is brought to you by the True Penny Show. Catch James True Penny and his cast of wrestling minds as they talk about all things Japan when it comes to professional wrestling. You can find their podcasts anywhere fine podcasts are made available. You can find them on Facebook and on Twitter at the True Penny Show. And if you'd like to talk to the czar himself, the man, the mastermind behind the True Penny Enterprise, Mr. James True Penny, you can follow him on Twitter at Sheriff Lone Star. So, guys, that's going to do it for another solo episode of the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. Gosh, I would have loved to have another co-host to be going back and forth with, because I'm sure Darryl O'Connor and my good friend Tony Cotton would have had many things to talk about. But hopefully they'll be joining us next week, and we'll be able to go even deeper into the world of professional wrestling, into the week that was on the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. We'll catch you next time.